In October, you'll be a guest of honor of mine.
Yeah, all right. I appreciate that. All right. I appreciate that. Dave Flibig. He's a guest of honor every week on the Morning Roast.
He really is.
You know, I know it's just a matter of time because the Giants tell him, I don't need you associating with these clowns. No, I'm kidding. Giants get a big win yesterday. They went 13-2. Fitzgerald, who's going to see him back at the top of the lineup for once. And then Blake Snell, 5 innings, doing his thing. Hayden Birdsong today on the mound against the Brew Crew. Flip, what's happening, man? How you feeling, man, after that travel to the Plains? How about that?
I love going there, by the way. That is everybody who loves football should go there sometime. It is such a cool place to go watch a game. Good win for the old Cal Bears. How about that? That was fun.
You know, Flip, I don't usually, I don't say, oh, man, they're cheating. They're calling some bad stuff here. But it did feel like at one stretch, Cal was holding on for dear life. And it felt like every single flag went against them. The roughing the patent, the targeting call, I thought was a little suspect. It was pretty weak. Oh, but the uniforms were sweet.
The uniforms were
sweet. Even a staffer guy like yourself, Flip, can admit that those Cal uniforms were pretty sweet.
That should be their permanent uniform. Maybe it is. I'm not that up on it. I haven't called over to Cal and said, let's talk about your uniform choices. But I agree. Those looked really good. Really good. I love the little blue stripe down the side of the pants. It's a good look for the Bears. And you know what? They have a pretty good team. Like, they have a chance to have – I saw the computers today – said like the ESPN computers said they have like a 5% chance to make the playoff, which,
I'm not
like
mad at that.
5%. The fact that the computers are even looking at them is like, wouldn't that be something if they got themselves in the mix?
Well, Shasky, real quick, I'll let you get in here. San Diego State this Saturday night game. That's going to be on ESPN. I'm not sure what Flip is calling, so we'll get that at the end of the interview. Did it go down to Florida State, Tallahassee? That's a winnable game. We saw Florida State. And then Miami's coming out here October the 5th, the Hurricanes.
Last time they were out here, they played at Pac Bell.
That's right, the Emerald Bowl.
Well, you and I were there.
We're at that game. Javon Best went crazy.
Look at you.
And then before that, I don't know if Flipping remembers this, but early 90s Miami came out here and played the Bruce Snyder-led Cal team, and they put it on the Cal Bears. So go ahead, Shasky, get in here.
Dave, Sunday, all right? Football was going on, so I don't know how many Giants fans were tapped in like I was, but I had my eye on the Giants, and a couple of days has gone on since then, and so the dust has settled, and I saw Luciano grab Fitz's hat and glove and bring it out to him, and they clearly, like, I feel like everything is fine, but that play, it just didn't sit well with me that day, later on. And both guys, I thought, and there's a pop-up on Luciano's side. Fitz is coming over. He says he doesn't hear him. It is a loud environment. I like my second baseman or infielders to be a little more demonstrative. It's tough for even an infielder to see another guy's arm movements or hear them in that situation. They kind of collide. Ball drops. Matos is right there. No one's covering second base. Canna's falling asleep. 2 runs score. And I'm listening to the post game, and both guys try to take some onus on it. And now that the dust has settled, what are your thoughts on the Luciano Fitz play? And is there any leftover residue? Because it feels like everyone's moved on.
Yeah, it was not a good look. It wasn't. And it happens. It happens a lot. Maybe not a lot, but it's not just those two. Stuff like that does happen. I didn't like, my least favorite part of the play was when the ball dropped. Everybody just stood there. Like, you gotta have some urgency. Okay, you screw it up, you miscommunicate, the ball falls. Don't just stand there. Like, that's, that was a sign of probably two things: immaturity and frustration. Look, I think two things can be true. Number one, what I would have loved to have seen from Tyler Fitzgerald, who's clearly established himself as a leader on this team, as somebody who the Giants believe can be a part of the future. I would have loved to have seen Tyler after the game just say, my bad. Even if you don't believe that, just, be the bigger person there.
Yeah.
There's clearly some underlying frustration with not just Tyler, everybody, with Marco and the way he's played defensively this year. And I think my guess would be is there was like a cumulative effect of not again, sort of like that feeling like, man, just making it hard on everybody out there. But, but Marco is still so young and doesn't speak English the way that Tyler does and most of these Giants do. And it's harder for him to, like, all that stuff makes it a little unfair in these scenarios where you're going after the game and sticking a microphone in two players. One is more equipped to explain himself and defend himself than the other is. I would have loved to have seen Tyler just take it, yeah. You know, and I think next time he will. I think he probably believes the same thing. So move on and hope it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, when in doubt, take the high road. Talking to Dave Fleming here on the River Islands Guest Line. I don't think we've talked to you since Matt Chapman re-upped with the Giants. A 6-year, $151 million deal. I know Shasky loves Chapman. I've been very impressed with his professionalism, with how hard he plays. And you know what? The years, we could nitpick and say, 6 years, no trade clause, $151 million. But you know what? He's been a really good Giant, and you have to start somewhere. You have to start building pillars here, and that's not a bad guy to have in his dugout for the next 5 to 6 years, Flem. Congrats to Matt Chapman, but what were your thoughts on the contract extension that he signed last week?
Yeah, I think championship caliber teams don't nitpick and look at I don't look at it that way. They look at, this guy's a really good player. He wants to be here. He makes our team better, period. He's on our team. Like, make it happen. And I think that was what the Giants did in this instance, as opposed to obsessing over maybe the marginal value of every aspect of the deal. Just say, this guy loves being here. He's had a great year. And we want him here to be an anchor on this team. And so I'm thrilled. I haven't told this to Matt, but I feel like he owes me a little something, because I have spent the whole year just pumping him up.
You have. Willie Mack Award winner.
Oh my gosh.
He's probably running away with that one.
He's so impressed me. Like, I really, and I think I said it to you guys a few weeks ago that I thought, or maybe, I don't know, maybe it was Kawakami, Joe's friend, that I was talking to, that I said, I thought he was the best Giants defensive player that I'd seen. And I got asked about that a lot. Like, wow, you really think that? And I was like, well, I got to call Brandon Crawford now and, we'll walk him off the ledge. I love Craw. But I just been to all, that's a rambling way to say, I think Matt Chapman has been fantastic, and I'm so happy he's going to be a part of this team. It's really important to have him around.
You know, Joe, I was wondering why Tim Kawakami stiffed me the other night at Levi's Stadium for Monday Night Football. He just walked right past me and didn't say a word to me. I thought you guys were buddies,
oh,
man.
Oh, my God. Oh,
hey, thanks for the shot. No, that was great. Hey, you know what, though? I'm with you on Chap. I'm sorry. Look, we can nitpick all these different things. He's a good player. He makes them better. I want him leading the charge for a lot of these young players who you reference Fitz and Luciano. Whether these guys are in the cards long-term or not, you got to have like a David Lee type to kind of just set the tone. You need those people in the building, and you need those guys on the field, and he's one of those guys. To me, this is a lot about Bob Melvin, and maybe I'm reading too deep into this, but I know Bob loves Matt Chapman, and I feel like Bob's got a lot of influence right now, and he said something that I found to be really interesting. He was talking about the outfield, and man, we got a lot of things to consider, and at some point they asked him about, the year as a whole, and he's like, this has been one of the hardest years of my career. I'm thinking, wow, like I know you want to win, and what do you think he meant by saying it's the hardest part of his career, or why do you think it's been the hardest part of his career?
I think because he put so much, like, it's hard to overstate how much it means to Bob to be the Giants manager. For the kid, he always describes it, and he makes me smile when he says it, like he got on his bike when he was 12 years old and just rode up and down the street thinking he might see Willie Mays coming back from the game in his neighborhood. Like, for Bob, this job is the culmination of his whole career. So I think, when the Giants went out and they signed all these players and you bring Bob in, his expectation 100% was, this is a playoff team. And the fact that it's not going to be a playoff team has really eaten at him. So I think that's what he means, as opposed to internal strife or other stuff. I think it's more just like the expectation of this job and what it means to him and how he feels like they've come up short. And I think he's very determined to help make sure that doesn't happen again.
What do you think has been the biggest development positively this year for the San Francisco Giants? Because I've got a few on my head, but you're with the team every day, and people aren't happy, whatever, but there are some positives. Like, what's the most positive thing to come out of this year?
There have been positives. It's been a disappointing year with a lot of things that have been positive. But I would say the collection of younger players and the guys, and I'll say that of like, not, I'm not putting Kyle Harrison in that bin. I'm not even putting like Matos had a great run. It's still sort of up in the air what he's going to offer. I'm not putting Patrick Bailey. I'm saying Ramos, Fitzgerald, and Birdsong specifically. And then some of the bullpen guys too. Like, I think you said it a minute ago. It doesn't have to be that those guys are future superstars. It doesn't have to be. But like, that's almost like those guys were not being counted on at all. And you've found a way to accentuate the positive with them. And what I think the Giants haven't done a great job of over the last many years with their young players is finding what they do well and accentuating that, as opposed to maybe like trying to change certain things about them or pigeonhole them. And I love the fact that Ramos, Fitzgerald, especially, like, they're not the prototype sort of Farhan players in terms of their profile. They've let them play and they've let them thrive. And I think that's, you know, are those guys going to be your all-stars going forward? I mean, Ramos has already made an all-star team, maybe, but can they be solid parts of the Giants' future and help you make a better franchise? Absolutely they can. And I think that, to me, that's been the biggest positive. Those guys from sort of totally off the radar to having really good years.
Dave Fleming here on the Morning Rolls. Joins us every single week, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. Farhan Zaidi, he's been a hot-button topic here in the Bay Area for quite some time now, and obviously you've heard our show. We've been very critical of Farhan Zaidi. He's done some good things. I don't want to say everything's been doom and gloom. He's done some really good things. And then there's some things that's been left on the table here. Flem, you're around this team, and I don't want you to speak for Farhan or anything like that, but what do you think Farhan would say about the job he's done this season? Not in the totality, because I think the farm could be in a better spot. He's been able to bring premium pitchers to the Bay Area, but what do you think Farhan would say about this team and the job he's done this season?
Well, I'll say, before I answer, I'll say I talked to him the other day, and man, this has worn on him big time. Like, I walked away going, I hope he's all right. Like, he is wearing it big time. And it was a reminder for me that all these things that you and I talk about and yep. We throw around, like, these people who are involved pour their whole selves into this. And look, they get paid extremely well, and they accept the challenge. They know what's coming. They know that that's part of the deal, but it doesn't make it easier. And he is just, this year has worn him out. I think he's just super, super, super disappointed with how things have gone. And so, you know, that doesn't answer your question. I think he would say he's really unhappy and things need to be different. And I think the thing that most probably has frustrated him, the thing that he brought up first when I was chatting with him was like, there are a bunch of the veteran players that they were counting on, whether it's, you know, Wilmer and Tyro or who, like, that's not finger pointing at them, but like they've gotten a lot of underperformance from guys. They were just figuring we're going to be solid, solid guys. And I think he felt like that undermined the whole beginning of the year, and they've been playing catch up and they've never been able to get their footing, and that the whole thing sort of got torpedoed before it could get going. And I think that really disappoints him. You know, when you load up like you do in the off season, like the Giants did, and then you get off to such a poor start, it throws everybody out of whack. And I don't think the Giants ever got their balance.
Yeah. You know, Dave, we're going to have a conversation about just like what an organization maybe owes its fans, right? The consumer, and you owe it to yourself, obviously, because you're trying to win. This is a business, and these, you're trying to win championships and whatnot. But there's a lot of Niner fans that are really ticked off about maybe the candor of Shanahan and the Niners disclosing the McCaffrey injury and how they waited. And I know there's a fantasy element that's baked into this. Bonte he learns things about the Warriors, and he doesn't bring all of it to air. And there's, you know, like a tug and pull of like, how much do I let everyone know that I know? And I don't want to betray trusts.
Flynn's in that same spot.
But that's
in that same spot.
Yep. And that's why I want to ask him, like, as someone who works for these teams, How difficult is it for the teams to be 100% candid while also not, you know, giving up that gamesmanship for the other teams that you're going up against? Like, do you get where I'm going with this? Like, I think it's really difficult, and I understand why fans get angry, but I also see where the teams fall down on this. So when there's like an injury, how honest can they be?
Yeah, it's a hard thing. And I think Farhan, just specifically Farhan, is one of the most, when you guys, like, you know, I don't know if he maybe only goes on the other station or whatever. I don't know what his deal is, but like when you listen to him talk, and he doesn't talk that often, and I wish he talked more. I think one thing, you know, that I've said to Farhan is like, you know, I think it would benefit him to be out there a little more, just communicate a little more with Giants fans. Cause they are desperate to hear from your leadership. Like, fans care. They want to hear from these guys, but they also, like, to your point, they want to hear the truth. And I think Farhan is really good at that. Like, Farhan speaks the truth. When he says something, don't think he's like dodging you or sending you down the wrong path. He means what he says, like, as much as any sports executive that I've been around. So I think he's actually pretty forthcoming about how he feels and how players are doing. It's always going to be a tricky balance, always. It's tougher in football. You know, I think football is probably the ultimate one where, you know, game planning and things change based on one player being in there, and there's so much on every single game. But yeah, that was a bad look for the Niners. Like, and you know, I feel terrible for the kid, Jordan Mason, who played so well, and now I'm sure... You know, I'm sure he's feeling the heat about, because his comment is the one that really set it all off. Hey, I knew Friday, or I found out Friday I was starting. Like, you know, that, like, that's the whole key to the whole thing. And I feel terrible for him because he should be celebrated for how great he played. It's a hard part of this whole thing.
Nah, there's no doubt about that. Flynn, where are you at this week? Are you going to be doing Cal, San Diego State? You're going to stay local? What's on deck this weekend in terms of college football?
Yep, I'm bringing my fast track, and I'm driving across the Bay Bridge. That's my gig, Saturday night.
I love that. It's a good game, too. And by the way, four new teams going to the Pac-12. Maybe Calis Stafford will be back in the Pac-12 one day. No, seriously, we got six teams now, Flip. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and the one San Diego State that we have this weekend, that's pretty big news. Like, they're one of those teams. I mean, I thought the Pac-12, the old Pac-12, it's mind-boggling how badly they screwed all this up. Like, it's just like there will be case studies on. You want to know how you ruin an organization? Do what this group did. And so, like, if they just done this a while ago, because these schools, those schools are good programs, and I actually personally think for Cal and Stanford. I know the money might not equal out long term, but short term it probably would. If Cal and Stanford with Oregon State and Washington State and San Diego State and Boise State and Fresno State, I think that's better than what they've got going now. Yeah, better for everybody, more healthy, just a better thing. But I don't think they can unspool. Now they've committed to the ACC. I don't know how that happens. So who knows? But I'm glad because I'm really pulling for those programs that are left out here to survive. I think it's good news. I don't know what the next step is, but I think it's short term. It's a good positive step.
Absolutely. Have a good call tonight.
Thanks, Flynn. Dave.
Thank you. Some birdsong. Let's see if he can bounce back, man, and finish his season strong. Thanks so much, Flynn. Have a great call Saturday. We'll be listening to Cal and San Diego State this Saturday. In the meantime, of course, Giants baseball. Thanks, Flynn. We'll talk to you next week.
Who thought that I was going to be the voice of the Golden Bears? Their fans are probably just like, can we please get somebody else over here?
Nah, they love you. You're a good luck charm for them. You went down to the plains. Got a win in Auburn. Come on now.
Somewhere.
SEC, what? That's Bear territory, Flip.
Somewhere Roxy Bernstein's going, please explain.
Yeah. He's got a dartboard with my face in the middle of it.
See you, buddy.
See you guys.
All right, Dave Flynn,
let me ask you the River
Island's guest line, 95-70 game.
Let me ask you the same question I asked him, essentially. What do the 49ers owe their fans when it comes to disclosing these injuries? I'm not outraged. I understand there's a gambling element. I understand there's a fantasy football element. There's a gamesmanship element, right? Of games planning and all that. I'm just curious what is reasonable to expect? I don't expect, and maybe I'm too deep in the weeds, for people at podiums to give me 100% right. of the truth 100% right. of the time.
I don't think in terms of injuries, disclosing injuries, because it's a personal thing, and you know, we got the whole HIPAA laws, right? We got all that. But I understand a football team not disclosing their information. You know, because one, if you do disclose it, you're going to freak the fan base out.